Not only is it an act of God's faithfulness, but remembering is an act of God's love. See, God never forces truth on anybody. He'll make it completely available, readily available, and only those who would like to will receive it, because He made His choice 2,000 years ago on the cross. The next choice is yours. Make that choice, and just like that criminal who said, "Remember me," in a moment, in a heartbeat, his eternity changed.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. It was Communion Sunday at New Hope, and Pastor Wayne gave a message on the well-known words of Jesus, "Remember me." But he showed us several other places in the Bible where God tells us to remember. In fact, it comes up far more often than you might have known. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, "Remember Me."
Remember me. We want to talk about how important those words are and what they mean. Let's read about it. It's in your notes, if you would take out your notes. And let's read the short story about these two that were crucified alongside Jesus. By the way, there's a fun story. A pastor, an elderly pastor's dying, and he calls his two people in his congregation. One was an IRS agent, and the other was his attorney. So he called them both. And he said, "I'm dying." They said, "What a privilege to be with you, Pastor, as you go into heaven." They said, "We want you one," he said, "on one side and the other." And they said, "Why?" "Because I want to," he said, "I want to die like Jesus. And he was crucified between two criminals. So I asked you to come." That's not in the Bible. This part is. All right, so we're going to read it. Sorry, my brain just goes funny. Let's read this out loud. Go. One of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other answered and, rebuking him, said, "Do you not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he was saying, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise." Remember that in life, remembering is optional, but in the kingdom, it's a necessity. And when he said, "Remember me," it doesn't mean that God forgot. Let me give you some things that remembering is all about, because Jesus, in that day that he was betrayed, took bread. After having given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. As oft as you take this, remember me." Jesus said that too. And in like manner, after he supped, he took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant shed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as you do this, remember me." Remembering is a big part of the kingdom of God. See, often we during the week don't think about God at all. We don't remember God because we're so busy with the urgent things that are going on in our business, our family, the problems, our finances, water stopped, electricity got turned off, whatever it is, beavers won. All of these things bother us. No, there's half of us that are beaver fans, half ducks, so we have fun, But all of these things get going in our minds, and we don't remember God at all until maybe Sunday. And so what we want to do, and what a wonderful joy it is to gather together to remember, because there's an important thing about remembering. The first is this. Write down somewhere, remembering is an act of God's faithfulness. You see, the reason it's an act of God's faithfulness, because in Hebrew, the word remember doesn't mean something was forgotten. Oh, remembering. No. No, to remember simply means something is being brought into the spotlight of God's attention. That's all. Doesn't mean he forgot anything. It's just that now it's priority on his to-do list. And when we say, "Remember me," it brings us into focus. And at that point, God influences situations in your favor, and his promises for you are fulfilled. I don't know about you, but I want God to remember me. Can you say amen to that? God remembered Noah. The Bible says God remembered Rachel. God remembered Hannah when she was crying out to God. God remembered. In fact, in Exodus 2, when the children of Israel were wanting to get out of Egypt, they began to cry out to God. And it says this, it says, and God remembered the covenant he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he heard the cries of the Israelites and took notice. See, the word remember does not just mean to bring into focus something and then to release promises. It also means that God, when he remembered the Israelites, he heard the timbre of their cry, the tenor of their wailing, and knew that it was the fullness of time because their hearts were willing to obey. It wasn't just some passing whim. At that moment, God heard their cries. And this is just the Hebrew meaning behind it. God heard their cries and said, they're ready to comply. They're ready to cooperate. They're ready to go. And boom, God remembered them and remembered the covenant. And the fullness of time came to pass. Bang. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad God remembers us. That he brings into focus certain times of my life where he says, let's work with Wayne. Let's begin to release favor on his behalf, on your behalf, on your behalf. Now's the time. And the fullness of God is found and his promises come. Because there's something with the heart that lines up with his promise. And he says, now, let's remember. That's what it means. I don't know about you, but what if God forgot about us? That would be devastating, wouldn't it? It's like I get to heaven. And I come to a crossroads right at the intersection of the beginning of heaven. It says, heaven this way and hell that way. And I say, God, here I am. I'm going to go to heaven. God says, Wayne Cordero, sorry, you're going the other way. I said, no, don't you remember? I received you as Lord and Savior, and I've been serving you my whole life. And God goes, oh, I forgot. Yeah, okay, now I remember. Okay, let's change that. So, whoo, man. And by the way, Lord, over the next 20, 30 years, there's going to be a whole bunch of people from New Hope West right at this intersection. Could you try to remember them, please? God goes, whoa, I'll try my best to remember. Knock on wood. No, I'm so glad God remembers and he doesn't ever forget, does he? I'm so glad. You say, but Wayne, why does God remember like Rachel or remembers Noah or remembers... It's like God has favorites. Does God play favorites? Because the Bible says he shows no partiality at all. Does God show favorites? Does he have favorites? What do you think? How many of you think God has favorites? Don't raise your hand. Just think. Some of you don't want to raise your hand anyway. Yeah. Yeah. Let me answer that question with another question. Here's the question. And it'll answer the question for you. Are you ready? Here's the question. How many of you would like to be one of his favorites? Raise your hand. Yeah. As is thy faith, so shall it be done unto you. You see, the Bible says it in this way. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. Whosoever will may drink freely of the waters of life. It's up to you if you would like to be one of his favorites. I don't know about you, but I would. I'd like to be. And that all begins with your very first decision. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, please do so today. Whosoever will may come and drink freely of the waters of life. And I'm saying, Lord, I'd like to reach out. I'd like to be one who gains your favor. And the Lord says, as is thy faith, so shall it be done. See, God never forces truth on anybody. He'll make it completely available, readily available, and only those who would like to will receive it. Because he made his choice 2,000 years ago on the cross. The next choice is yours. Make that choice. And just like that criminal who said, remember me, in a moment, in a heartbeat, his eternity changed. Not only is it an act of God's faithfulness, but remembering is an act of God's love. Let me explain it this way. You see, remembering is not just passive, it's active. I'll give you a story to explain it. Let's say Tom and Jerry. Those are easy names to remember. Tom and Jerry. Tom and Jerry have anniversaries at the same time. And Tom, because it's his anniversary and he wanted to remember it, why, he bought roses for his wife, a dozen roses. He bought a card for her and he wrote in it, "I would marry you again in a moment's time." And then he took her to dinner. Boy, at the end of the night, she was just so pleased, so excited, so happy. Jerry, on the other hand, remembered, but at the end of the day, his wife was madder than a hornet and said, "You're sleeping in the doghouse." Why? Why? Because he didn't remember. He said, "No, honey, I remembered." Why? He said, "All morning," Jerry said, "I remembered. I thought anniversary today. I remembered. And in the afternoon, I said, remember, it's your anniversary. And just before I came home, I remembered. So there you go. I remembered all day." And she says, "Yeah, but you didn't do squat. So you better get a pallet for dog food because you're going to be eating that for the next week." You see, remembering is not passive. "Oh, yeah, I just remember." No, it's active. Something happens. Our lives change. And we say, "Lord, this is what I'd like. This is what I think about. Lord, and I remember you and I remember your promise." All of a sudden, we realize that it's not only an act of God's faithfulness, but it's an act of our love when we remember the Lord. Because when we remember him during the day, it changes us. We pray, we think about God. By the way, you know the best way to remember your anniversary is try forgetting it once. You'll learn. But remembering is an act of love, where you actively remember. And then as we prepare for communion, remembering is an act of God's grace. 352 times the word remember comes up in the Bible. That often. And just one of those times changed a man's eternity on Calvary. And another is about to change a woman's future. Who was she? She remains unnamed in the Bible, but she's in the midst of this parade or something in celebration, a festivity in Luke chapter 8. And it says this woman had a hemorrhage of blood for 12 years. And what that means is her cycle just wouldn't stop and she continued to bleed, and which would affect her marriage. She was probably barren and her body was being debilitated and depleted. She was in the midst of a festivity when Jesus came through, and the Bible says she reached out and touched the fringe of his garment. And I want you to remember this now. The hem, or the fringe of the hem of his garment, because there's a huge meaning to that, and I'll explain it in a second. And Jesus whipped around and said, "Who touched me?" His disciples said, "Everybody's bumping into you." "Oh, no, 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 no. There's a lot of people that bump into me, but somebody intentionally just touched me." And by the way, sidebar, when you come to church on Sunday, a lot of people bump into Jesus, but we don't want to be people who just bump into Jesus on Sunday. We want to be those who are reaching out and touching the fringe of his garment. Can you say amen to that? Because a lot of Christians just bump into Jesus, but nothing happens. But just one who reaches out, touches him intentionally, he stops and says, "Power just went out of me." Something was activated of the promise of God. Something was activated of that woman's inheritance, and it was applied. What does that mean? Let's read about it, and it's just read one verse here about the woman with the hemorrhage. Would you read it? It says this, go. "She came up behind Jesus and touched the fringe of his clothes, and immediately her hemorrhage stopped." At the fringe of these garments that they used to wear, there was something in Hebrew on four corners. It's called tzitzit. Tzitzit is basically a tassel, and there'll be some pictures of it, a tassel that was tied in so many different knots that it would equal 613 ties, because that's the amount of promises and commands in the Torah or the Old Testament, the books of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, 613 commands that if obeyed, these promises are activated. And so they would actually tie these in a certain way and it would hang from the fringe of their garment. This lady knew and understood what remembering was. She touched the fringe or the tzitzit or the fringe or the hem of his garment because she said, I know the promises of God. I know the command. Remember me. And when that happened, the Lord turned around and said, someone just claimed their inheritance. I felt power go out of me. And it said immediately that woman's hemorrhage stopped. A woman's life was saved when she said, remember me. And she got a hold of the promise of God. It happened with Jonah when he remembered God. He was in the belly of a great fish. We'll just call it a whale. But he was in the belly of this fish and he was going down for the count. He was dead. He was finished. He's going to lose air. But the Bible says this. Let's read it here in Jonah 2 and verse 7. It says this. Go. While I was fainting away, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came unto you. You see, when you remember God in the middle of the week, you start praying. I remember. Because recall this. Fear may be defined as imagining a future without including God. Oh, my bills. Oh, I can't pay this. Oh, I got this. Oh, my negotiation fell through. Oh, I didn't get that job. Oh, and you're imagining a future without including God. Can you see the beginnings of fear? But we find here that Jonah, even though he was down for the count, he was about to die. He said, I remembered the Lord and my prayer came to him. And what happened? God delivered him. I tell you, it's very important that we remember. You see, in the world, remembering is optional, but not in the kingdom. It's a necessity. If we want our inheritance, we need to remember. Remembering, even in communion, is absolutely critical. And that's why the Lord says, don't just imagine your future without including God. Remember God. You'll start praying aright, and the promises will be activated for you. That's why Philippians 4 and verse 6 says this, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God will be activated. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Ah. So there Jonah remembered and began to pray and everything changed at that moment and God delivered him. Does God ever forget? What do you think? Does God ever forget? Don't answer that because it's kind of a trick question here. Does God ever forget? Well, if to remember is to move God to action, then to forget is God withholding any action. And did you know that he does forget intentionally? The Bible says this in the book of Hebrews, when we repent of our sins, he forgives and remembers our sins no more. Phew. I'm glad God intentionally forgets. There's a story of a man that there's a lady in his church and she's always saying, man, I was talking to God this morning and God said everything's going to be all right. You know, I just talked to God the other day and he said this and the guy's getting upset. It's like, you just talk to God all the time. She says, oh, yes, I talk to him all the time. He said, no, you don't. Oh, yes. And does God talk to you? She says, oh, yes, he does. So this guy's thinking, this lady's a loony. He said, okay. And he was struggling with something that had happened some years ago. And he tried to ask God for forgiveness, but it didn't sit right with him. He couldn't shake it. He said, all right, you ask God what I did 4 or 5 years ago. Ask him what I did and see what he says about it. She said, well, okay. I'll talk to him tomorrow morning. So she's good. Let me know. Well, the next day he saw her and he said, well, did you talk to God about what I did? She said, I did. I talked to him about it. And what does he think? Well, she said, you know, when I mentioned it to God, God thought and thought and said, I can't remember what happened. See, when God forgives, how many are glad that he forgets? So if God forgets, so must you. And when you put something under the blood of Jesus, can I just say this gently? Don't mess with the blood of Jesus. When something's under the blood, that's what defeated Satan on the cross. Don't mess with the blood. So when I put something under the blood, I get to forget it. Even though my flesh or my mind says, no, I still deserve judgment. Stop it. If God forgets, so must you. That's why the Bible says in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we confess our sin, he forgives us our sins and casts it into the depths of the sea as far as the east is from the west and remembers our sins no more. Whew. That's what communion is all about. That he comes and says, this is for you. Can you remember what this is for? Let me ask you. Some of you might be like that criminal. What's this communion mean for you? Some of you might say, I deserve judgment. You just don't know what I've done. Maybe this communion is for you, like the criminal. Remember me. The Lord says, good. This day you shall be with me in paradise. You're good to go. For some of you, what does this communion mean? Well, it might mean for you like what it meant to that woman, where you reach out and touch the hem or the fringe or the tassel of his garments. Lord, would you remember the promises that you gave? I need to hang on to that. The Lord says, it'll be activated. Or maybe you're like Jonah. You don't have a choice. You're between a rock and a hard place. But remember God and don't imagine a future without including God. And pray. And let this communion mean that God will deliver you and he will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. What is this all about? What is this communion all about for you? Maybe you're the woman. Maybe you're the criminal. Maybe you're Jonah. But would you let this communion remind you of God, that you remember him and activate the promises of God to bring peace to your heart? When Jesus took the bread, he broke it and he gave thanks. Why? Well, this is my body broken for you. Was he thankful that his body was about to be broken? No. He was thankful that you and I would find healing because of his brokenness. He thought about us and he said, would you remember that? He took a cup and said, this is the cup of the new covenant shed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. When you put something under the blood, make sure you don't mess with the blood. Can you remember that? And let me set you free. Can you remember that? Yeah, Lord, good. As oft as you take it, remember me. Meet me at Calvary. And we'll talk. Let's pray. Father, we pause at this communion moment and we set sort of an intention as to what this communion means to us. For some, we're like that man on the cross. We deserve your punishment. We've been beating ourselves to death for a long time. For some of us, Lord, we're like the woman who just desperate for wholeness and healing. And we're going to reach out and claim the promises of God. And Lord, for some of us, we're like Jonah. We're caught between a rock and a hard place. But we'll remember God and we will not imagine a future without including you. Can't do it. Nope, nope, nope. Because only you can take the impossible and turn it into the possible. You can take our mourning and turn it into gladness. You can take our tears and turn it into joy. And so, Lord, we trust you, even as Jonah did. But whichever way, Lord, this communion means something to us, and we remember you, your promises. We remember what you did on Calvary, and we'll meet there with you. Lord, would you fill us afresh today? We'll make room for you, God, in our hearts, in our week, in our thinking, in our planning. We make room for you. In Jesus' name.
You have just heard a message entitled, Remember Me, given by Pastor Wayne Cordero on Communion Sunday at New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We trust it has been a blessing and an encouragement to you.
We would like to offer you a copy of Pastor Wayne's book, Dream Releasers. In its pages, you will find the inspiration and motivation to realize your full God-given potential. For your gift of $10 or more, we will send you a copy of Dream Releasers. You can give online at lifejournal.cc. Again, that's lifejournal.cc. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.